Okay, that's a quick shutdown. Okay, we're back in the third hour. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name. And we're trawling through here the state, attack. Legislation, entrapment, political correctness, every weapon they can use. And that bill there on cash and assets, at 1241, that is an outrage beyond belief. I can't believe that exists. But I don't know where people are going to start to fight back on this. There's so much stuff to fight back on. But I was touching on a story there. I'll just read the bones of it, the Daily Mail. I expect to hear this from California, but not from Britain. And it says that they're quoting here, "I called a trans boy a girl by mistake, and it now may cost me my job. Maths teacher suspended after praising a pupil using the wrong gender. Joshua Sutcliffe said, 'Well done, girls,' to the teenagers after seeing them working. He apologized when corrected by the pupil, but their parents then complained. He has been summoned to a formal hearing to face charges for misgendering." Ooh, misgendering. Wow. a teacher... Well, I'm doing it again here. But anyway, I just move on to the actual case. And this shows a photograph here. Joshua Healy, 27, is a young teacher. He's sparkling guy, and they said, according to the documents seen by the Mail on Sunday, he also faces a claim that he is breaching equality policies by referring to the pupil by name rather than as he or him. Oh my God. The 30,000-a-year teacher said he was distraught and had been reduced to tears as teaching was his life, and he branded the actions of the school as political correctness gone mad. Well, that's for sure. Mr. Sutcliffe, a maths graduate who gained his teaching qualifications at Exeter University, said he had no official instructions about how to address the students, but along with other staff decided to use the pupil's chosen first name. However, he has admitted that as a Christian, he avoided using male pronouns such as he and him. He believed this was consistent with the school's code of conduct and equality policies to show respect and tolerance, and he said he had encountered no problems with this. He said he thought that no more about the incident until a week before last, when after a parents' evening, he was unexpectedly called to the head office to be told there had been a transgender complaint against him and that he was suspended from teaching while it was investigated. He was told to come to the school and sit in the staff room preparing work. So he was told to come to the school and sit in the staff room preparing work, but he was not allowed to discuss the situation with colleagues. He later discovered that the pupil's family had claimed he had not only misgendered the pupil, but had unfairly given that pupil a disproportionate number of detentions for poor behavior. Though this later claim was not upheld during the investigation, it is understood the family's main concern was that Mr. Sutcliffe was picking on their child and they would not have complained about misgendering on its own, as they are supporters of free speech, really. That's double talk. Mr. Sutcliffe, the teacher involved, said, "I was absolutely shocked to be told by the head that I was under investigation. I didn't know what was happening. It was surreal. Kafkaesque. Indeed, it was only one incident for which I had apologized, but he insisted the investigation would go ahead. But this is insane, and the name of the school is, let's see what the name of the school here, but I'll keep this article in a special section, but it is absolutely shocking. This is another form of torture of people. And a story I read out last week, which is in the same category, I'll read it again. This is in America. University professor claims mathematics, we call it here in the UK, is racist because whites have a natural advantage. Should algebra and geometry be banned for equality reasons? And Ethan Huff is writing this story for Natural News. And he's saying here, as the lunatic fringe of the anti-Trump ultra-left readies to scream helplessly at the sky on the one-year anniversary of Donald Trump winning the election, a professor at the University of Illinois, UOI, as it's known as, is on her own personal crusade to completely abolish mathematics because she believes that subjects like algebra and geometry are inherently racist. Well, children are coming out of school semi-illiterate. Now they won't be able to add either. Woo. Most multinational in the UK recruiting teenagers out of high school are sending them to literacy classes in many cases. Rochelle Gutierrez, I read that last week, is listed on the UOI website as specializing in equality issues in mathematics education. Her focus is in paying particular attention to how race, class, and language affect teaching and learning, which means you're crippled. Now let's cripple the teacher with political correctness, then they can't teach at all. That's what they're doing here. Which basically means that she sees white privilege, that's another entrapment phrase, white privilege in every facet of education. In the case of maths, Gutierrez thinks that because minorities are supposedly deficient in the subject compared with whites, the subject is flawed and in need of overhaul. I mean, this is insane. Oh, my God. Their opinions are more important than the facts. Any class anywhere will have very good learners, average and slow learners, and you divide up the class and treat them in different times, different hours, etc. But this is absolutely appalling. According to Campus Reform, over there, the magazine, I presume, Gutierrez, this insane teacher, professor, recently published a book outlining her personal manifesto. I'd love to get hold of that, in which she believes she makes a solid case that algebraic and geometry skills perpetuate unearned privilege amongst whites. She is so upset at the subject of maths, in fact, that she is trying to raise awareness about the politics of mathematics bring. God, this is seriously mental disturbance in society. This is what she has to say in her own words, and here's a quote from her. This is absolute lunatic. On many levels, she says, mathematics itself operates as whiteness. This is like far-left comedy. This is like off-the-wall comedy. Who gets credit for doing who? This is maths, the subject. Who gets credit for doing and developing mathematics? Who is capable in mathematics? And who is seen as part of the mathematic community is generally viewed as white. Well, the end result is white. It's nobody's fault. Oh, boy. Research shows that Asians, not white people, are actually the most proficient in maths. Yet most of the computer programmers and IT people across Europe, a very high percentage are Indian Asian. And that's a tribute to them, fair enough. For being a college professor, Gutierrez sure is dumb when it comes to understanding the truth about the world around her. She is obviously unaware of the inconvenient factoid that, at least according to research published by the Lynch School of Education, Asians are actually the world leaders in their proficiency. That's what I just said, in maths and science. What this means is that, using the logic of Gutierrez, mathematics is technically perpetuating Asian privilege. You should go after them now as well. And teachers of the subject need to be aware of this when instructing their students. Gutierrez would never go down that road, though. That's because that's political incorrectness of stating that because we're after a person of color, you see. Of stating that this fact would collectively trigger every social justice warrior and feminist on the planet. Whoa, and there's a little bit more on this. I'll just go to finish it off. Further, maths, she says, as well as science, is a subject in which boys tend to outperform girls, according to scientific research. As much as the snowflake generation would have everyone believe that the sexes are equal in every way, except when females are better than males, of course, the evidence suggests that the male mind tends towards being more analytical. That's why boys tend to be more in maths and science. Well, there's two natural genders out there, you know. Researchers have also found that boys tend to have a more positive self-concept than girls in mathematics and science, and that boys are more mechanically minded, and that is the gender doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. From grade 4 to grade 8, the average instructional time for mathematics begins to decrease, but increases for science. Read the press release issued by the same body. Anyway, that's the story. I read out bits of that last week. But this is in the same vein of absolute insanity, gripping education. Whoa, it's shocking. I was story I've read to cover that, the Catalans declaring independence, which is insane. They should be getting rid of the euro. But one other related education story, young children, I did touch this a few weeks ago. Screen time, this is young children in 5, 6 and 7 looking at tablets, electronic tablets. Screen time found to have direct impact on speech delays in babies, reveals new speech, new research. And Rhonda Johansson is writing this, and she's saying here, in an ironic turn of events, can you hear Alana Morissette right now? Technology is seen to stunt key development growth in children. Children should learn to speak to each other and understand things, but they should not be near computers at that age. It's outrageous. New evidence shows that the more time children under the age of two spend, under the age of two, shocking, spend playing with their smartphone, or handheld device, a tablet, I presume, increases the risk of speech delays. The American Academy of Pediatrics came to this conclusion after studying around 900 children whose ages range from 6 months to 2 years old, and this study was done between 2011 and 2015. Researchers found that by the 18th month checkup, 20% of babies had an average daily handheld device usage of around 28 minutes. More disturbing was the data that recorded a 49% increased risk of expressive speech delay, and what the researchers defined as using sounds and words for every 30 minutes increase. Oh my God, 30 minutes increase in handheld screen time. Anyway, it's just using these tablets is affecting children's actual natural development. That's for sure. And that's obviously a question asks and answers its own question, really, of the situation does. But where do we go with this? How many things are we? Where do we start on taking this back to common sense? And another one regarding smart devices. Again, I probably did this last week. Smart devices are snitching on owners and rewriting the criminal justice system. Nicholas West is writing this article. A new type of court case is slowly but steadily emerging within American legal system. Alleged crimes being detected from data supplies by smart devices. Several cases over the last few years have focused on data transmitted within the modern smart home, while a couple of others add an extra dimension to police completely reconstructing a crime scene based upon data collected from the home as well as from the various internet-connected devices that we wear. They say the very nature of the First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments of the United States Constitution seems to be at stake here. In December of last year, an Arkansas murder case made headlines, not so much for the death itself, but how a suspect was brought into custody. James Bates hosted a party at his Bentonville home on the night of November 21st, 2015. At some point during the event, a man drowned in a hot tub in the property. Bates claimed to have found the victim the next morning when he awoke, stating that it was a tragic event. But Arkansas's police obtained a smart water meter reading that showed an anomaly between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. based solely on this data, and obtained without warrant, Bates was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. Wow. Well, this is a good example. Somewhat ironically, James Bates subsequently requested recordings from his Amazon Echo. Imagine having that proxy device in your house. I mean, it's shocking. Everybody knows where they are. Amazon Echo to defend himself against these charges, which resulted in Amazon waiving their standard privacy conditions. A second case followed wherein we saw the police narrative emerged that a crime had been prevented by a home smart system. A domestic dispute resulted in Eduardo Barros allegedly wielding a firearm against his girlfriend and threatening to kill her. However, during the argument, he exclaimed, "Did you call the sheriffs?" This activated a voice-controlled sound system in his home and dialed 911. After an hour-long standoff, the suspect was taken into custody and charged. Law enforcement was quick to hail the smart technology as having saved a life. Probably a setup. But it was the presiding judge who shook privacy advocates by accepting the evidence regardless of how it was obtained, saying that there was indeed probable cause for the arrest without a warrant. It's like Tom Lacavera of RBN being charged with constructive possession. Constructive possession, who never was carrying a gun. This is entrapment at its absolute zenith. But it has the bizarre case, there's the bizarre case of Richard, the third example here, Richard Debate, that's a bizarre name, Debate, as recounted in the Chicago Tribune, that offers up new complexities in the argument about how far police should go, able to go
in obtaining
information and using investigative crimes. 2 days before Christmas 2015, Connecticut police received a distress call from a man who claimed that an intruder killed his wife and tortured him. He was found in the home basement tied to a chair and bleeding. Richard told an apparently detailed story of the events that led up to the break-in, which included recounting how his smartphone alerted him to the intrusion while driving to work. He stated that he had sent an email to his company and gave the time of his arrival home at around 8:45 a.m. This sounds like Lieutenant Columbo reading stuff. He says he entered the home and confronted the intruder. Meanwhile, his wife returned from a morning exercise class. Richard claims that he told his wife to run, but she was pursued and shot by the intruder, upon which the man dragged Richard to his basement, tied him to a chair, and tortured him. The details of how he managed to dial 911 after fending off the attacker were even more dramatic. Richard said he crawled upstairs with the chair still attached, activated the panic alarm, called 911, and collapsed. The firefighters found him soon after. During the course of the... This is very detailed stuff. I'll just continue with it because it's tied to the other two stories. During the course of the investigation, police realized that Richard's wife, Connie, was wearing a Fitbit, whatever that is, a wearable device with a feature that tracks how many steps a person takes while exercising or going about their daily activities. The numbers didn't match according to Richard's account of what had happened, differing by a wide margin, nor did the records from Richard's smart key, which show that his alarm was activated at 8:50 a.m., then turned off at 8:59 p.m. From this, his basement, his email, which he claimed was sent from the road, actually showed that it sent from his home IP address. Richard was arrested and now awaits judgment for pleading not guilty. Anyway, that's quite complex stuff. But you will have your own high-tech devices giving evidence against you, and the police will pick whatever they please. But that is another bizarre, disturbed story about police legislation and technology. It's shocking. Absolutely shocking. And another one, our beautiful friends, Google, pushing hard for national laws to criminalize Christian beliefs and federalize transgender rights. This cocktail. Ethan Huff is a good writer, is writing this. And is saying here, well, I'll start the story now. The Human Rights Campaign, HRC, is pushing the Human Rights Campaign, in a group, I presume, is pushing new legislation that would amend the U.S. Civil Rights Act of 1964 to include sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity among the prohibited categories of discrimination or segregation in places of public accommodation. Pro-family organizations like the Family Research Council, FRC, warned that the proposed changes would end up in criminalizing Christians and other religious peoples whose convictions stand in opposition to non-traditional expressions of human sexuality. House Resolution 2282 is simply about letting Americans live their lives without fear of discrimination, according to HRC. I'm getting all mixed up with all these organizations. The Human Rights Campaign, they're aware with Google, so you can figure who they are. Okay, we're going to the first break of the third hour. We should be back in about 3 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, and we're coming back in for the first break of the third hour. This is the Barden Report. PJ Barden is my name. And we're here on Saturday, the 11th of November, 2017. And I'm reading through a group of connected articles here of disturbed legislation, disturbed professors of university, and absolutely insane political correctness. It's absolutely off the wall. It's a comedy writer could not write stuff like this. But it's deadly serious, and it's I don't know how it's going to be stood down and got rid of, but bar a revolution. And this current thing, I read out the header originally, Google pushing hard for national law to criminalize Christians' beliefs and federalize transgender rights. And this guy, who is a homosexual, U.S. Representative David Cicilline, Democratic Rhode Island, an open homosexual, he wants this H.R. 22 bill to prohibit employers with 15 or more employees from discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, subject to the same exceptions and conditions that currently apply to unlawful employment practices based on race, color, blah, blah, blah. As pointed out in the Life Site News, that's quoting a magazine, the bill's far-reaching impact would greatly expand the potential for lawsuits to be filed against private individuals who choose of their own volition not to affirm behaviors that they believe to be immoral before God. This is already happening under state and local sexual orientation and gender identity laws that LGBTQ activists are taking full advantage of to persecute anyone who disagrees with them. Absolutely, that's the reason. And a place I used to live, Colorado, This has already been seen in places like Colorado, for instance, where a court of appeals back in 2015 decided that the demands of homosexuals trump the religious liberty of free rights of Christians. Wedding cake bakeries, photographers, t-shirt makers, bar owners, you name it. If a homosexual feels infringed by someone else, he or she will have new procedures under HR, this is Colorado law, HR 2282, this is a federal law, I think, yeah, to throw a hissy fit within the legal system and win. It's a money-collecting device for hardcore left-wing freaks, New Age freakery. And he's saying here, in the Equality Act, if the Equality Act, this is HR 2282, passes, attorneys will likely be required to represent homosexuals in dissolving their same-sex marriages. Christian schools will likely be required to offer transgender students the bathroom of their choice. I mean, what percentage are transgender? I know the plastic packaging is changing the DNA of people, but I mean, this is insane. Majority rule should be the same rule. And Christian homeless shelters will likely be required to accommodate same-sex couples. Oh, so good. And it says, Google, Target, American Airlines, Best Buy, and many others join hands to push for the passage of this HR 2282 bill. As is to be expected, the push to pass HR 2282 is mostly coming from Democrats. Some 194 of them have signed on as co-sponsors. There are also two Republicans on board. Representatives Elena Ross Leatham of Florida and Scott Taylor of Virginia. But the biggest push seems to be coming from the corporate America, sure. Well, the ads this year in Britain, the two big retailers, Tesco and Waitrose, included Muslims and colored people and this thing about Muslims celebrating Christmas, which they don't. And it is totally confusing. And they're trying to twist themselves in knots to be politically correct. And it's a sickness pervading the country and the BBC audiences. I think Britain is something like 13% ethnic at a maximum, and BBC audiences are like 40%. Bending over backwards to really annoy people. It's not representative. And the BBC audience is rigged. I think audiences should be picked like lottery balls at random. As expected by HRC 2282, probably will not pass without the help of some of the biggest names in consumerism. Search engine giant Google, for instance, is helping to lead the way in exerting its web dominance as a tool of influence and persuasion towards this end. Of course they would. Why wouldn't they? Anyway, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Sure.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Okay, and we're coming back in with Acker Bulk there. I think a stranger on the shore. That's me. Well, it's 6:30 in the morning here in the UK. It's 11:30 in the US, in Central Town. But anyway, I've been reading a series of just insane stories. I just review them there briefly. I'll just put them here aside, of how disturbed of the world we're living in, and legislation backing it up. Google, absolutely criminal organization now, pushing for this communist, left-wing, fascist, destroy the family, no values whatsoever, smart devices snitching on people, children being destroyed by being plunked in front of tablets at a young age, destroying their learning capacity and communication skills. University professor are trying to outlaw maths because maths is racist. A teacher using, possibly going to lose his job for not pronouncing a transgender child, which the criminalizing of cash and the seizing of assets, all connected to destroy people on every level. And there's other things. This is a very disturbing case. I'll only read parts of it from the Daily Mail. A gay couple who were allowed to adopt the child, they murdered the child, and he's convicted and in prison. These are two gay men. Now, there was two gay lesbians earlier this year convicted of the same thing. I think it was in Scotland. And to foster a child to gay people is absolute outrage, beyond belief. And this guy, I'll read the story here, Gay Fitness instructor is found guilty of murdering and the 18-month-old daughter he adopted just 2 weeks before. He denied murdering her, but was found guilty by a jury after a four-week trial. And the name of the guy here is a Gay Fitness instructor accused of shaking his 18-month-old baby daughter, adopted, to death just a fortnight after he adopted her, has been convicted of murder today. Matthew Scully Hicks, 31, that's his name, shook Elsie Scully Hicks before she was thrown against a hard floor while he was looking after her in his home in Llandaff in Cardiff on May 25th, 2016. Elsie died, this is a young child, Elsie, the name of the child, Elsie died just 2 weeks after she was formally adopted by fitness instructor Scully Hicks and his so-called husband Craig, 36. Scully Hicks, who sobbed when he was convicted, denied murdering was but was found guilty by a jury after a four-week trial. Cardiff Crown Court heard Scully Hicks branded her a psycho. This is the young innocent child, the exorcist and Satan dressed up in a baby girl in text messages, and she had suffered a string of suspicious injuries before eventually killing her. Now, we're coming up to a point here this where a social worker said visited the situation and did nothing about it. The jury of 9 men and 3 women went out last Wednesday, but returned a unanimous guilty verdict shortly after midday today. Social services in Cardiff faced an investigation over whether they missed chances. Yes, they did. To save Elsie, who suffered a catalogue of injuries, including bruises, a broken leg, and a fall down a full flight of stairs in the 8 months that Scully Hicks had care of her. And it shows a photograph of the two of them. She died 4 days after being violently shaken and sustaining a fractured skull just 2 weeks after being formally adopted by the defendant and his husband. On the day of Elsie's death, Scully Hicks took her shopping for an outfit for her to wear at a party to celebrate her adoption with family and friends. He sent pictures of outfits at Marks and Spencer's to his so-called husband and purchased one for Elsie to wear. But instead he shook her and he then threw her onto the ground, leaving his daughter fatally injured. Cardiff Crown Court heard that the youngster suffered a string of injuries when she was alone with the stay-at-home dad, Scully Hicks. Prosecutor Paul Lewis brought out the evidence against him. But Anna said she died at the University Hospital Wales, Cardiff, after doctors decided she would not survive her traumatic head injuries. But this creature, I imagine, approved the adoption of the young child to these two. That's more of it, absolutely more of it. It looks like we're living in a horror story in Britain, but Egyptian cleric, this guy in England, says men can marry their own daughters, right? And this guy's name is Mazen al-Sarwazi, cited prominent Muslim scholar in making his argument. Girls born out of wedlock were not really daughters, so not so attributed to their father. According to his argument, in these circumstances, a man can marry his daughter. And the piece here is being explained. A prominent Egyptian Salafist, S-A-L-A-F-I-S-T, cleric, has suggested Islam allow men to have sex with their illegitimate daughters and marry them. Right. What's going on in Britain? Mazam al-Sawazi cites prominent Muslim scholar Iman al-Safari as saying this because illegitimate daughters are not officially attributed to their families. They can be married to them. He's promoting incest here, obviously. He makes the claim in a video which has gone viral and he has been widely criticized in the comments. Now, I wonder, are Google or YouTube going to take that video down? I doubt it. In the video, al-Sarwazi said, Iman, who the cleric is quoting, is known for saying men may marry their daughters. Again, there's repeating stuff here. And it shows a picture of this creature here. But this, as I say, a great British journalist, Melanie Phillips, wrote a book which the Security Service tried to suppress called Britain's Dirty Little Secret, where the security services in Britain totally miscalculated the risk of extremists, and I'm not talking about Muslims, but extremist Muslims and their growth in Britain. And they've been scrambling for the last 5 years to recruit people to counter the problem. And recently the head of MI5 gave a press conference, which is very, very unusual, and he was saying that Parker is the name. He saying that they're, at any one time, they're dealing with 3,500 live risks of people that they're monitoring, and the 600 very dangerous people. And the estimate is that there's 25,000 very dangerous potential suicide bombers in Britain. And about 5,000 of them, I think the figure is, have returned from the Middle East and have been let back into the country, having fought with ISIS. Initially, they said the figure was 500, 600. Now it's creeping up, creeping up, creeping up. But it's just out of control. And the miscalculation there is shocking. One Conservative MP said that they should not be allowed into the country and that they should be executed. And they got into trouble for saying that. But I think most of the public backed him on this, on that subject. But, dear. And one other story here today is on Blacklisted News. Foreign Affairs magazine advances domestic terrorism to remove alternative media. Whoa. We see this. Said, this is by Mike Miles, journalist, writer, and book author. A bit of overprinting here, but anyway, let's try and read it. Foreign Affairs magazine advancing a domestic terrorism because it could help remove alternative media, and even jail editors and writers are worse. The recent article is entitled, Should We Treat Domestic Terrorists the Way We Treat ISIS? This got jumbled here. Anyway, I'll get out of this piece here. Many commentators have already demanded that we make a case for domestic terrorism, including such prominent YouTubers as Philip DeFranco. He runs a website of some 6 million and offers mildly libertarian commentary. But perhaps he doesn't understand that he may eventually become a victim of what he wants to invoke. There are many such well-meaning people who quite possibly misunderstand what is happening. And hopefully he'll explain what he's saying here. Now, how about prop or not, P-R-O-P or not? Let's see what he's getting into here. This outfit lists around websites friendly to Russia, and in total includes many of the major alternative websites in the country who run... those who run the website say they believe these sites provide propaganda for Russia. A recent reading of Prop or Not, I never heard of this, P-R-O-P or N-O-T, seemed to reveal that the site may have reduced some of the finger-pointing. It says that it does not censor. However, it continues to list websites nonetheless. The Washington Post drew information from Prop or Not when it was trying to paint alternative websites as Russian sympathizers. Well, the Washington Post is a disgusting entity, just like the New York Times and the Economist in Britain and the Financial Times, and all in the hand, working in hand and glove to put out vicious propaganda and lies. Interesting, the recent school shooting in Las Vegas didn't make much sense to some people because neither the shooter nor the people shot fit into known patterns of terrorism. Well, Las Vegas was a false flag event that went wrong, or so we're told. But what is, if the real reason to shoot so many people was at least in part to create support for domestic terrorism? Well, it's to build the argument for a gun grab. That's what Las Vegas is about, and all the other false flag events. But this article is very badly written. I was trying, Blacklisted News, I thought they wrote better stuff than this. Some of the stuff I saw before here was very fragmented like this. And it said, with the FBI really subject to legislative oversight and be regularly reviewed, the people suggesting this supposed advancement are at the top possibly some of the most powerful and wealthy people on the planet. This project may not be bound by constraints any more than the current investigation into Trump is being adequately constrained. This is Mueller and this total scam of Russian interference in the election, which is total, total rubbish. It may be hampering sooner rather than later. I'll stop this article because it's blacklisted news. They could make an effort to improve their website. They really could. It's absolutely disgraceful. Although some of the stories I have are good, but that's just an appalling website. But and we covered this last week, where Texas City, the flood, the the flooded cities in Texas. Texas cities were saying to residents, sign a loyalty oath to Israel or no Hurricane Harvey relief funds. I'll just read that one again because it's related to this insanity. This is by Aaron Kessel of Activist Post. U.S. citizens in the state of Texas are being asked to support Israel if they want Hurricane Harvey relief funds. This is real stuff. A move which experts are calling illegal, the Houston Press reported. The city of Dickinson is demanding its citizens sign a loyalty oath to Israel that states they will never seek to boycott the apartheid state for access to the Harvey Relief Fund during the application process to receive money. The city is using a pro-Israel state law. That was a state law in Texas. I thought this was the Lone Star State. The city, Houston, is using pro-Israel state law to intimidate victims of a tragedy for storm relief by hanging a dangling carrot over their heads but pulling it if their citizens doesn't support a foreign country. This is despicable. Let that sink in real deep, folks. It's saying here, the state law stems from a pro-Israel law signed by Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott. What a piece of work this guy is. In May, that prohibits the state from entering a contract with any business unless it does not boycott Israel or take action to penalize, inflict economic harm, or limit commercial relations specifically with Israel. During the time when the law was signed, Abbott stated that boycotting Israel was anti-Texas. Whoa. Oh, my God, I'm a mentally ill politician again. As Israel's number one trading partner in the United States, Texas is proud to reaffirm its support for the people of Israel, and we will continue to build on our historic partnership, he says, Greg Abbott. Anti-Israel policies, anti-Israeli policies, or anti-Texas policies, this is Abbott talking, and we will not tolerate such actions against an important ally. Really? Oh, my God. However, I'll just finish out this article. However, the legal trouble besides requiring citizens of the U.S. to pledge allegiance to a foreign country doesn't end there. The Texas law specifically states that organizations are held to the pro-Israel standard, but nowhere does it state that individual citizens are This is badly written. Nevertheless, Dickinson has required its citizens to sign a no-boycott pledge if they're interested in U.S. government grant money. In other words, if you don't pledge at least a foreign nation, you don't get government aid. He's repeating himself here. But, and they're reading the piece of legislation which actually says, the contract reads, by executing this agreement below, the applicant verifies that the applicant, one, does not boycott Israel, and two, does not boycott Israel during the term of this agreement. The ACLU stepped in to declare that the move illegal, stating it is against the U.S. Constitution and the First Amendment, comparing the move to McCarthyism. Very good. Somebody spoke up. Well, who'd have any trust the ACLU? The First Amendment projects Americans' right to boycott, and the government cannot condition hurricane relief or any other public benefit on a commitment to refrain from protecting political expression. The ACLU of Texas legal director Andre Seguri said in a statement. But the article finishes up by saying, what's more, there are similar rules in at least 20 U.S. states crikey, that push a ban on corporations participating in a boycott against Israel. The state laws are widespread response to a global campaign called the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions Movement, which exerts economic influence on Israel to force the country to stop building settlements in the Palestinian land. This is this other thing there. The Israelis got a hold of this Priti Patel here in the UK and were pulling off deals with her and didn't even tell the British Prime Minister. I mean, that's the level of contempt Israel has for their so-called supporters in the West. It is obscene. But come back to something concrete. The last piece of the program, Trump's border wall approved by House panel includes drones, DNA collection, and biometric scans. Right. We wonder, is it keeping people in the United States or keeping immigrants out? Derek Brose is writing this article, and he's saying, Trump's border wall moved one step closer to becoming reality, but will Americans be forced to give up privacy in the name of security? The House Homeland Security Committee has approved a border security bill which includes $10 billion for Trump's proposed border wall. Supporters of the border security for America Act says it is necessary to stop illegal immigration and violence along the U.S.-Mexican border. However, opponents of the bill are conditions for drones, DNA collection, social media monitoring, and license plate scanning along the border. Okay, we're coming up to the last break, and I'll finish this up after the break, okay?
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, and coming back to the last few minutes of the program today, and I'll finish up with this piece about Trump's border wall, the legislation creeping through the Congress. And said the House Homeland Security Committee has approved a border security bill which includes $10 billion for Trump's proposed border wall. Supporting the border security of America, the act says it is necessary to stop illegal immigration and violence along the U.S.-Mexican border. However, opponents of the bill are concerned about provisions for drones, DNA collections, social media monitoring, and license plate scanning along the border. I don't know, concerned. What are they going to do about it? On Wednesday, the committee debated the impact of the border wall would have on border communities and the local environment, but ultimately the bill was passed with a vote of 18 to 12. Really, it's interesting. Originally introduced by committee chairman Michael McCall, the bill now heads to the floor, House floor, for a full debate. The bill currently has 62 co-sponsors. McCall said the bill was necessary to achieve full operational control and situational awareness and of the border and to help put more boots on the ground. We heard that phrase before. Now that we have a partner in the White House who has made this a top priority, it's time to send the bill to President Trump's desk so we can deliver to the American people the security they have long demanded. I'm going to treat this like a done deal. The Border Security for America Act will greatly increase the budget and personnel of the Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection, with each receiving 5,000 new agents. Well, that is about time. The bill provides $10 billion for Trump's wall and another $5 billion to upgrade the nation's ports. The bill, which is owned by the Chinese, most of these ports. The bill requires new biometric systems to be up and running at the nation's 15 busiest airports, seaports, and land airports within 2 years. Not the biometric system, not the wall. Some of the most worrisome portions of this bill include biometric scanning of all people who exit the United States, both citizens and foreigners. In addition, the text of the bill calls for DNA collection of any individual filing an application, petition, or other request for immigration benefits or status. Perhaps most worrisome is the provision which requires the DHS and the Department of Defense to deploy unmanned aerial vehicles, a.k.a. drones, and automatic license plate readers. We have them all over the UK here along the border. The bill would allocate $125 million, that's chump change in government spending, to upgrade the ALPRs and the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Finally, the bill allows the National Guard and the military to be called upon for intelligence gathering and surveillance activities in the name of security, securing the border. Very good. The bill is facing opposition from groups like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, whoever they are, who claim the bill will dramatically expand Dragnet biometric and other surveillance of U.S. citizens and migrations near the U.S. border. Regarding the use of drones and ALPRs, the EEF says it is unclear whether the bill's new ALPR surveillance will be limited to cars that actually cross the U.S. border. It would also apply more broadly to cars at CBP's many interior checkpoints, some locators as far as 100 miles from the border. The bill is supported by the Security Industries Association, the International by all these different organizations. Anyway, we come to the end of the program, and it's fair to say we'll be back this time next week with the Barden Report. And we'll talk to you then.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.